Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Chilling Nay podcast, your premier VGC podcast. My name is Rushil, aka Conkledonk VGC, and I'm joined by Ryan, aka Sableye, Tommy Hayden, and our very first guest on the show, Nick Donnelly, the finalist for the Charlotte Regionals. How's it going,
Yeah.
Nick?
It's pretty good. Getting some good rest in is been pretty important so far, but I'm just happy with my performance.
Much deserved rest, much deserved rest. All right, well, so let's just jump on into it. So first of all, congrats to Wolf for winning his eighth regional. Just insanely impressive from the greatest player of all time.
Yeah.
And then huge congrats to Nick for getting second, and then
Like, dude,
I don't know.
incredible run. I gotta interrupt. I'm so sorry. I'm so happy for you, Nick. Just on a
Yeah.
personal level. Like, we played at I forget which regional. Maybe Hartford was it last season?
Oh, might maybe.
And
Yeah, I
then
don't.
we hung out at an MSS or a PC in
Yeah,
Maryland.
the Gritty Goblin
And
one.
then,
Yeah.
yeah, we were. It's just like, I'm so happy to see you make this deep run and do so well. I was just like, oh my God, like, let's fucking go, Nick! You
Dude,
know?
I love the support. It's been great. Just like hearing all the people come out for me. It's like, honestly, when I was playing against Wolf over and over again, I didn't think that there would be so many people in my camp, but just the amount of support I've received has been incredible, and I'm really thankful for it.
Bro, so
It
you
was,
only lost to Wolf?
yeah. Yeah, I played him both day one and day two, and then in finals. And all the sets went to game three. And between our teams, I think every Mon won at least one game, except for Wolf didn't bring Flutter at all. Is the one Mon he didn't bring in any of our sets. Gotcha. It was an incredibly electric run. I think everyone was just super hyped. It's a really unique team and like a cool take on like the Blood Moon stuff that's been going around. But I kind of want you to just have the floor and kind of talk about the team and your run and how the tournament went.
Honestly, so for the team, pretty much what I did is I was really into just Blood Moon in general. I built with Jhin, and we built this really hard Trick Room team with Double Kick for Rigorath into Weakness Policy Blood Moon. And when you could get that whole thing set up, it was crazy. The amount of damage that you were outputting with plus two Terra Normal Hyper Voice. And on the next turn, it's like if they try and protect in front of it, you get Helping Hand, which was feeling like the Hyper Voice felt like Blood Moon into targets. Like when you're OKOing plus one special defense, Water Pond with Hyper Voice, it's like holy shit.
That's amazing.
But the issue with the team was the consistency. You couldn't really get into Blood Moon that free. So like we were using Baton Pass Clefairy at the time to pat like set Trick Room with Giraffe and fall, Baton Pass away. But that team wasn't really as consistent, and we had to use Enamorous, and you were forced to lock into Springtide Storm too often, which because it picks up with the Teferi Helping Hand, it picks up on every King Gambit, which was pretty important, unless they were like Terra Poison. But the thing is, like I kept missing moves with that team, and it came to a point where it's like, if I want to be missing moves, I want to be doing it with my support Pokemon. And Tailwind felt really good moving into a reg F. So I was like, I was considering, like, I tried the Hoge team. That's what I originally tried with Booster Flutter, but only one tier of speed drop off of Icy Wind just felt kind of bad to me. Like, I wanted something with more strength. I also didn't want to miss Icy Wind on a super crucial speed turn, like speed control turn. And so that's why I landed on the Cloak on Torn. Because I didn't want to use Terra Ghost. I didn't want to have to use Terra to avoid Fake Out. Like, you have the Giraffe, but if you're putting Giraffe and Torn on the field at the same time, It's usually not the best position. So the cloak just kind of solved a lot of the fake out problems for the fast mode. And being able to go plus two speed and then start icy winning things with when like Iron Hands is outspeeding Fluttermane, you're like really enjoying yourself. I'm like, yeah, let's go hands.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, first, I just want to kind of say the six for anyone who doesn't know, but it was Iron Hands, Ogerpon, Heartflame, Torn, Urshifu Dark, Furgraf, Blood Moon. So you were, I think, yeah, the highest placing Blood Moon. There was a lot of Blood Moon in this tournament. I'm kind of curious. Yeah, obviously, because Wolf didn't win with it, but
Yeah.
curious on like if you ran into like a lot of mirrors with the Blood Moon stuff and like how that felt.
Yeah, I did actually. I ran into a lot of Blood Moon. But most of the Blood Moons were the VR winning team, which the matchup is interesting. I played against Jody in the last round of Day 2 Swiss. That matchup was very interesting. It came down to a lot of reads. In game one, I pretty much protect. I read a protect from his Ogerpon and just blew up his Flutter. And from there, he didn't really have a game plan, so he decided to forfeit it there. Like honestly, that matchup is really, really weird. It's very read heavy. And then in game two, I felt bad because he misread the team sheet and he faked out my Torn, which is Covert Cloak. And from there, I got to just click buttons.
That's one of
That
those
makes
ones after
sense.
like 14 rounds. It's like
Yeah.
one of those. It's like you hate to see it, but it's like, fatigue happens. And that was actually, well, it was last turn, so it would have been 15 rounds this time, right? Because we had the extra round.
Yeah, 15. It
Yeah.
was round 15.
Round
Honestly, I was
15.
on run on fumes too.
That's crazy.
But the matchups that I ran into, honestly, everything felt like 55-45, like very slightly winning to where I needed to make a lot of reads. Like, so my round one in Day One Swiss, they actually didn't show up. So like I was gonna say my round two, but my first round of the tournament that I actually played, was a person running something very similar to the VR stuff, except they dropped Flutter for Registeel. And I had no clue how to like navigate the Registeel. I end up winning the set in two games, but I was just like so shocked. I'm like, oh my God, everyone is just going to be throwing Blood Moon onto their teams and just add a random piece to either make like the fast mode better or the balance mode better or the trick room mode better. And I was freaking out because I forgot Registeel's speed tier. And I was like, holy shit, do I outspeed when Trick Room is gone? And thankfully I did because Registeel is base 50 speed. Thing is really slow. I like looked at it after, I was like, whew. But the team did really good into a lot of stuff that honestly I didn't expect it to do good into. I'm like, oh. Just Tailwind plus Icy Wind means you like always go first. And like I said on in the interview with Sierra, like I leaked the speed tier, like my Torn is the max speed. And I was so up, like I was like visually upset during that stream set when Arvin got the speed tie. I was like, Torn, you have one job. I actually went in and checked afterwards. I was like, because I wasn't sure if I bottle capped my Torn speed. And I did. I was like, oh, thank God I did that. Dude, Arvin went TO too. Yeah.
That's
Oh,
funny.
sorry, Conk. We keep talking at the same time. We're so excited to have a guest on. And Ryan, I feel like you haven't said a lot. So Ryan, please ask away too.
I don't have much to say. I scrubbed out. I got nothing here.
I mean, this was my first day too, so it happens to everyone, like especially me. So it's like, I mean, like to be honest, I credit it a lot to dropping Hard Trick Room because Hard Trick Room just has felt so inconsistent. Just because, like, during this run, I played a ton of old heads, and all of the old heads are godlike against Hard Trick Room. So I was like forcing the 50-50 on lead, and in a lot of these situations, like, oh, are you going to protect or not? was where my
Yeah.
strong suit came in from Hard Trick Room, except I didn't have to sack him on getting my speed control.
Yeah.
And Torn is OP. When you're allowed to miss Bleak Windstorm and still win the game, it's kind of like this mon is cracked.
It's either like gonna be
Pretty
the best mon
crazy.
on the field, or you're gonna miss four Bleak Windstorms and you wanna get to throw it into into garbage, but
Exactly, yeah. Like I brought like the Enzo Psy Spam Blood Moon team to a local, and I was so confused on how to play it because I kept missing Bleak Wind, so I was like Torn is trash, Torn is
yeah.
garbage. And then I picked it up and I was like, wait a minute, I'm starting to land my Bleak Winds. This is different.
That makes sense. I'm curious on what you're outside of like the Wolf matchup, because we can talk about that in a little bit, but curious on throughout the rest of the run, like what was the hardest matchups that you kind of faced, whether it was day one or day two?
And actually an interesting story is, like I was talking about it before, I think we started recording, the Iron Crown 222 Dozo team. It was Iron Crown, DD, Dozo, and then they had a Pryo spam mode with Pow D-Knight or Pow Entei respectively. And I had that in round three and round five. In my game one against both players went the exact same. Like every single turn went the exact same. Like it was the turn one was Tailwind, Terrifier, Ivy Cudgel, the Ndidi. Then on turn two, they bring in Dozo, protect the Dozo, Ivy Cudgel the crown, and then Giri comes in. In game or in the first set, I crit the Dozo with Woodhammer, which just sealed it. But I had Dark
Yeah.
Ursh in the back in that matchup, so it didn't really matter. Like a Woodhammer plus Wicked Blow was enough to get there. And like if you can take the resource lead against Dozo and like pin them into a weird spot where Ursh Dark is like OP, you kind of just win. And that's what happened in both game ones. They both adjusted in game two, so it wasn't nearly the same. Like that matchup in itself was like really weird, a lot of pivoting. Like, I'm not sure how, like, if Chuppel was playing that, for example, or someone else was playing that, for example, who has like a ton more Dozo experience, because both of them told me that they were pretty new to Don Dozo after the set. So I have no clue how that would have gone if it was more of an experienced Dozo player. I kind of just like played the same line and it worked out.
That's good.
If it works, it works.
Yeah. And then probably my hardest matchup was my round one of day two Swiss. He was playing this really interesting hard Trick Room team with Iron Crown as the fast mode. I need to find his team. He had Ndidi Crown. I know he had Dusclops, Ursaluna, not Blood Moon. It was the regular one.
Can hold it.
And
Jonathan can hold it.
yes,
Yeah, I think
yes.
it's the same.
That was his
Yeah, no,
name.
he's a friend. He's awesome.
That
He's
team
one of the
was
best
so
Puerto Rican
scary.
players. Yeah, he's one of the best. If you go to the Puerto Rican special event, he's holding down the fort.
Okay, I
You gotta
believe
face
that.
him. Yeah.
Yeah, no, because that was really scary. And it came down to a lot of reads and 50-50s, but I had Imprison on my giraffe, which was huge. Huge for me. In like that matchup specifically. Because he wants to set Trick Room, obviously, but when I have Imprison, it's kind of scary, and you need to like play it in a really weird pivoting game. And I ended up getting it in technically four games. We had to replay game three because of the disconnect issue. Because
Yeah, everybody
for
disconnected, right?
yeah, the
Yeah.
entire table, not just our table, but every day two table disconnected. And we were in a spot where it was 2-2 game three on a pretty rough 50-50. And they were like, okay, yeah, because there's so many people, we're not going to do sudden death, which honestly was kind of 50-50 on who it benefited, because he could have just protected something. But having to set Trick Room with no like fast mode that's like super super strong into Torn plus Ogre Pond was really rough for him, but we ended up playing the game three, and he led like Ndidi Crown, and he had Dusk and regular Ursa in the back. And I think he just led kind of wrong in game four. It was because it was a very high tense situation. But I was scared during that set. Like, I was not sure what was going to happen. Because honestly, I had no expectations of day two. Even going in 8-1, I was like, I'm just happy to have done this once, and I just want to keep playing the game. Like, six rounds is going to be a lot. But I just want to, like, my goal was to make money, was the goal. Because I had never done that before. And I was like, I'd love to just pay off the trip. But now I have Hawaii money, which is nice.
Well,
That's
wait,
awesome.
we got to talk about, you have some really, really good friends. Like, the game, like, your friend group is OP. So, like, you're probably seeing them make a lot of money playing this game. And you're like, one of these people to get there too, guys. So, like, that's a
It's
funny goal to have in retrospect, like, hearing that from a third party.
It's like I'm so used to hearing my friends being like, "Oh man, I missed money." I'm like, if they bubble out of top 16, I'm like, dude, I just want day two so bad. Like, that's all I wanted at the time. And I was in the car with Brian. We took Brian down to Charlotte, and Brian's like, I was really unconfident or inconfident in the first or like the Thursday when we were driving down, because it felt like my team was getting adapted on a little bit, and I had to make some changes. And I was considering Iron Crown for a little bit. And
Glad you didn't go that route.
yeah, no. Brian was like, if you go Blood Moon, you're gonna day two. If you go Iron Crown, you're gonna 6-3. And I agreed with him, and I ended up making some changes, like the grass on hands came in pretty clutch. Like, my rough matchup at the time was Ince Gus. But what a lot of people said, I played a lot of Amoongus during the tournament, and they were like, yeah, I just don't want to bring this against you, because you have to position Amoongus in a way where it goes before Blood Moon. And because, like, if you just get Terra Norma with Blood Moon and lose your Gust, you're pretty much screwed. Like, I played against Neil, and when Neil brought Gust,
Me.
it got just like blown up, because I have Taunt Torn, I have Fire Pond, I have Blood Moon, I have Terra Grass on hands. Like, there's a million ways to answer Gust. And when you're playing a Giraffe Blood Moon team and the person's like, yeah, I don't want to bring Amoongus,
That's a pretty good deal.
it yeah it's a pretty good deal. So I was really happy with that aspect of the change, and the team was just working the way I intended it to, which, after playing a lot of hard Trick Room and getting Rockslide flinched a lot, I was like not expecting. But
I feel that. I'm curious because you said this is your first day too. I'm just curious if you can like talk a little bit about like your VGC career up until this point and kind of just the journey of getting here.
So pretty much my first tournament I did was Indianapolis 2022.
Me too. That was my first tournament ever too.
I was super excited, and I was actually, at the time, I was a hard Trick Room player with Calyrex Ice, and I didn't want to bring Calyrex Ice because I played in the IC and I got Rock Slide flinched a ton, and I was super upset. And like, in Prison Trick Room, Cali Shadow was giving me a really hard time. Like, not many people were running it, but it just felt like an auto loss. So I ended up switching it up and going with Rinya Sun, but my change was Wakan Berry Zard. And people were Max Lightning me, and then one of the guys that hit Max Lightning into the Wakan played against my friend who was running the exact same six and did the exact same turn one in round three, and he still goes to events. And I saw him at Charlotte, and he's like Wakan Berry guy, and I was like, and I was
That's so funny.
I we just had a good laugh about it. But it was I started there, played Rinya, and then I played in Scarlet and Violet. My first regional was Knoxville, or if Scarlet and Violet, my first regional was Knoxville. I actually drove Justin down, and I was in Justin's whole group for that whole thing. And it was a crazy experience. to say the least, because we had known Justin was good, but I had never met him in person. Like, we talked a lot because of Draft League. And like the night before, we really thought that he wasn't going to show up because it was 11:30 and he hadn't gotten there, and we were set to drive out at like 8 in the morning. And
Oh my
he comes
God.
in, and we all take our pre-regional pictures and stuff like that, and we headed out. And that man just went on a tear. That man went on a tear. And like since then, I felt like I was like I had like slight expectations for myself because of him. And I brought the Psy Spam to like every tournament except for Fort Wayne, where I actually brought his six. And I lost to Dylan Salvanera in a win and in situation against his Mouseape team, where I messed up the line, but he got me. He got my ass. But
Dylan does that to a lot of people.
Yeah, he's a strong
he
player.
got me on the 50-50 pretty good. So I wasn't too upset with that, but I think I had 6-3, probably like 8 tournaments in a row. Up until now, where I have my breakout, and I went all the way up to 8-0 before Wolf, and I was like I played against Soheb for round 7, and
Loved
he
him.
actually
Friend of the
beat
show.
me in a win and in at I think it was Milwaukee. On like I was playing Psy Spam with I brought T-Tar and I had Excadrill as my fast or not Excadrill, Lycanroc's a fast option. And he got me on like lead roulette and rock slide miss. And like technically like so beating him in round 7 felt like super like good to like do that, because I felt like I was if I lost the winning into him, I would have been feeling pretty rough. But to be honest, he missed some moves. Like he missed some rock slides, so it felt like a little bit of karmic justice, I won't lie. Because he was running the Hisuian Arcanine, and I was like, he's like, man, Arc just won't does doesn't want to hit his moves. I was like, I understand. I mean, I know you know. Yeah, so
That's got
yeah, but the run, like the career has been a lot of almost there. And then sitting at the like before the MSSs came out, I was just like, because every single tournament I went with Justin. Except for Hartford, which I played TCG at, and I made points, which was pretty good. Because TCG is a whole nother beast, but like I like the VGC community much more, because in trading card game, people are just like way quieter and don't really talk, and there's no online presence. But here, it feels like a whole nother
We
ball
talk too
game
much.
with like everyone talking shit on online all the time, like but like super passive aggressive.
We have a pretty interesting community for sure.
Yeah.
My
But
advice is just don't go on VGC Twitter, but you know.
yeah, like
Don't.
yeah, I don't interact too much on Twitter because a lot of my experience has been just I've been interacting with the people that Justin has met, because I'm there with him at most events. And I've been able to make a pretty solid group of friends. Like I hang out with Joe Yu all the time. And I don't know, I feel like hearing all these people like talk about like, oh man, I just need a win. I need a win. I'm like, man, I need a day two, and I finally got it. And just doing this has like felt very,
That's
very
awesome.
validating too.
Not just a day two. You were so close to the win too,
Yeah,
honestly. Like
yeah,
it was
yeah.
crazy. That game three comes down to, just a 50-50 play, and so I kind of transitions us perfectly into talking about like the Wolf matchup. And I know we talked a little bit before we started recording, but that just I know you guys faced 3 times, which is and played 9 games out of the whole thing. So I'm curious, kind of
Yeah,
what were the mind
every set
games in
was
the
game three.
finals and everything.
That man, like I'm not trying to like glaze or anything, but that man has like incredible sight of lines. Like he sees the line way ahead. And I was trying to make some reads based on what he was doing before, but he just wouldn't do the same. He never did the same thing twice, which is most people don't always do the same thing twice, but in like three sets, it gets kind of different. I was trying to read his habits, and actually what's funny is he's also from the same like DMV area, and
I
I've
was gonna
never
say, he
fooled
was in
him
the
at a
Green
local.
Goblin.
Yeah, dude, the DMV scene is crazy. Like when like you can have a top eight at a local and the entire top four is regional champs, it's kind of scary. So it's like it makes me feel less bad for bombing out some of the locals. But yeah, so like I have never pulled him at a local before. Like we've talked at locals, so we knew each other prior. Like only a little bit. He referred to me when I saw him on day one, he referred to me as the cheese guy because we were talking about this cheese shop in DC, because he likes cheese a lot. And he was like, and I've seen him at other events. I'm like, hey, have you gone to the cheese shop yet? He's like, no. He's like, it's still on my list. And he like pulls out a list on his phone and shows it to me.
Funny.
And we end up playing like a bunch. And I interacted with Trailer a lot behind the scenes too. They were great in person. Like, I don't really know much about like the online presence. I know that obviously Wolf has a huge one, and I watch a lot of his videos too. Like, but I know Trailer like posts a little bit. It was weird seeing Trailer without a mask because I watched a lot in 2022, and I was like, these are Trailer's eyes. I've seen them on stream before, but I wasn't sure about the rest of his face until I saw. Until like he introduced himself, I was like, oh, okay, yeah. But that whole matchup was just really interesting. Like with Wolf, he made a lot of different plays. And to be honest, like I'm not trying to John here, but the matchup was felt like his favor. Scarf Ursh was really difficult for me with Giraffe. So I couldn't have just like faked it out and set Trick Room. And Protect Giraffe got me in a lot of our sets. Like I made like a lot of 50-50 plays where like in I don't remember what set it was, but where I take the Ivy Cudgel on my Ursaluna and Earth Power the Terrifier on the Ogre Pond. I was actually reading a switch into Incin and set him setting Trick Room because we had already established that his Giraffe lives the Ivy Cudgel at neutral. And I thought he wanted to set Trick Room against the bear because his Incineroar is slower than my was slower than my Blood Moon, as we saw from the stream. And he actually let me know that we were like my Iron Hands and his Incineroar were speed tying after the tournament, which he had won all of the speed ties under Trick Room, so I was just convinced he was min speed.
Interesting. Yeah, you brought that up on a
But
stream and
that's crazy.
yeah. Yeah, so he informed me that that was not the case, and I was like, no. But I hate playing speed tie games anyways. Like, I know I did that with Torn, but it feels like it's forced in a lot of positions.
That makes sense. I'm curious because like this was just a gut react or like a immediate reaction from me when I saw it on stream, but that crit hyper voice to like that did like almost all of Ursaluna's damage. Like, were you surprised by that damage output? Because I was shocked that it did that much.
Yeah, I was like, I saw all the damage and my eyes like popped out of my head. I was like, this has got to be a crit. And I think I reacted too. I was like I definitely have like some physical reactions when I like get crit or lose speed ties and stuff like that. And to be honest though, they're really like, again, I'm not trying to John. There were no real big positive RNG moments in any of our sets for either of us, other than that hyper voice. That one was pretty important, and yeah, I don't know if it 100% mattered. It gave me a weird like swap opportunity though. Like I still need to VOD review all of my sets because I was talking with Yotam during the tournament, and he was like, "Man, you play aggressive. You should not leave your Blood Moon so open." And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, oh, we'll VOD review. I'm like, I kind of need to. I was definitely playing like a lot like a crackhead during that tournament.
Sometimes it works though,
But
right? Oh, he's gonna protect.
yeah,
He's
it
gonna protect. He's
does.
gotta. Surely he's gonna protect here. And then he just drop a Blood Moon and he just nuke the field.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when you think that someone like has to protect in a position, that's why I know I saw the Twitter post, some guy was calling that CC into My Blood Moon like the best play ever made. I
That
was
was
kind of just
more editor, I think.
confused. Yeah, I was so confused. I was like, I actually said this to Wolf after the set. I was like, I think I had to make the read that you weren't gonna CC. And I heard that he was hovering the strikes into Giraffe. For like a while on stream, and then he just changed his mind at the end because I was like, oh, I have to make this read and kill this Ursh so I can outspeed with the with my own Ursh in the back. And he ended up calling it right, and like that's what happens. Like I was playing on the back foot for kind of too much during that tournament. Or during that those sets, but with Protect for Giraffe, I couldn't like Wolf plays in a manner and with this team to where none of the pieces you can just ignore. Like one of the sets I won was I actually just ignored the shit out of the giraffe, or one of the games I won I just ignored the giraffe really hard and it worked. But because of the interesting speed tiering, he was able to maneuver the giraffe in a position where it was like, I can't ignore it, and then if it protects, I'm screwed. Like if I click the Terrifier, follow me on that one turn in that game, I think I probably would have just been able to take it. But then again, I would have had to worry about Ursh in the back and a bunch of stuff. So it was a ton of weird 50-50s, and I got so close 3 times. I was like just this close. But like having a tournament where you have 3 losses and they're all the same person, it's bittersweet because it's like there's only one person in the way, but it's also like, man, does this guy have me figured out or
No, he's the
Unfortunately,
best player
Wolf
in the
has
fucking
everyone figured
world.
out. But
Yeah.
at the end of the day, I mean, literally 50-50 play at the end of game three, you can't ask for anything closer than that. I mean, I think I saw a bunch of tweets on people saying that was the closest final set they've ever watched. So,
Yeah.
just an insanely incredible run.
Yeah, thank you.
Curious on like now looking forward a little bit. First of all, kind of like what does the rest of your season look like? And curious on how you think the meta shifts after what you saw in Charlotte, or any like surprise picks and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I'm headed to Knoxville after this. I actually don't have a hotel yet. Justin and my group, we were very behind on planning, and like before he left this morning, he was like, "We're kind of bad at planning this stuff, aren't we?" And I was like, "Yeah, maybe a little." So I guess it's time to work on it. And we still haven't even made like a group chat about it, so we're definitely dragging a little. But I we have. There's 2 weeks. I think Liverpool is going to impact the meta quite a bit. I know the only person I know personally who's going is Joe, and I'm really pulling for him to take it. I mean, I'm close with him, but I'm not sure what he's bringing. The one insight though is I know that people are dropping Riley's team. So, like, if we've seen a lot of the tier lists for the meta that like top players will post, they just like will put all of Riley's pieces in like a Riley team tier. And Joe ended up running Power Whip over Woodhammer, and he ended up not clicking it, and apparently the team just got kind of outpaced and outclassed, and it's kind of outdated from both of their perspectives. So we're probably going to see a fall off of that team in particular. But I think like the one mon that I've always been very interested in as a player is King Gambit. And obviously with Luka's run, I think it should continue doing well. Chen Pao falling off of a cliff for day two though was probably the most shocking thing to me. But then again, it's like the amount, just the sheer amount of Iron Crown in day two, like when you think of like Psy Spam, you don't think of it auto losing to Chen Pao. But in this case, or it beating Chen Pao, but
I think the Iron Crown teams were just able to take care of Chen Pao so well with Rocky Helmet and DD and Iron Crown. So it really like depends on whether or not the Crown players decide to stick around for Liverpool. Like I'm really interested to see what a lot of the European players do, because I know from what I've been told, they have a slightly different perspective on the game than us Northern American players. And like I don't know, like if we let Iron Crown win, I'm pretty sure we would never hear the end of it from the European players, because they're like, oh, Sizeman winning a major, like the biggest major of all time, would give us a bad rap.
Absolutely.
So I think like probably like the Prio Spam stuff, like the Underhill team, is still gonna do really well if they just make adjustments for Giraffe. Like
That makes
I
sense.
think that they can adjust around Giraffe. It's just weird, especially if stuff like mine, where Tailwind Blood Moon Giraffe is coming out. Like I don't know how exactly they're going to adapt to it, because you kind of have to just pick on lead, like what you're beating. And it's like if you lead Pow Knight into Tailwind plus Blood Moon, and then I have like a Giraffe in the back, and I get Tailwind up, and I get to just start clicking buttons. Like they're kind of in a very precarious position, and I feel like someone's gonna pick up my team, or maybe like some other like Arbenz team. Arbenz team was really scary for me. In all honesty, I feel like he brought a little weird in our set. I was thinking to myself, I'm like, how do I beat these four? Do I? And I ended up just like being able to click buttons and go first until game two.
I think that was quickest sets I've seen on stream. That was a lot of just super aggressive reads, like one after another. It was really cool to see like just two hyper offensive players playing at a high level. It was really impressive for sure.
Yeah, I did not expect him to not bring the Hisuian Arcanine. Hisuian Arcanine seemed pretty scary for me. Like, his was interesting though. It was Terra Dark, so Wicked Blow wasn't free into it, but he got into a position where he didn't really want to. Like, he needed to Terra offensively. Like, that's actually the biggest thing. I think offensive Terras are going to, like, the stocks of offensive Terras are going to be through the roof. I think that with this tournament, like, I was thinking in my set with Wolf, the only time there was ever a defensive Terra was my Iron Hands. Like, in a lot of the top eight sets, there was very few offense or defensive Terras, it felt like. At least when I was watching, it just felt like you need to have hyper offense and just go. Because like Terra Water Surging Strikes is still cracked, even with Raging Bolt in the format. Like Wolf's idea, I guarantee you there's like some players that he beat where with just like they have Raging Bolt and he leads like Scarf Ursh next to Giraffe and clicks Terra Water Helping Hand Surging Strikes into a target and it just like explodes. Yeah, like I was like, that's really scary. So I doubt I like I think that Raging Bolt might fall off a little, because a lot of people were playing it, but I don't think it converted to top eight at all.
There was one in top
Oh
eight.
no, there was
There
Neil.
was
There was
one,
Neil
just Neil.
actually. Yeah, and Neil's team was AV Terra Electric, with Snarl, and it was an interesting set. I actually played against Neil, and I beat him. It was a pretty close set. I had a really weird 50-50, because his Ogre Pawn was slower. His Ogre Pawn was faster than his Roaring Moon. So I was very confused about the speed tiering, and there was a 50-50 that I just kind of like missed in game two, and that's why like went to game three. And he was like, yeah, I didn't want to bring Amoongus into you either, which so like
Love to hear that.
he was like forced to bring Water Pawn Moon, or no, it was Water Pawn Bolt Moon and Ensign. Like the bouncy stuff feels like so good and so bad at the same time. Like having no moves that can miss is pretty good in this format. Like that's why I like the team that I'm running. You know, I played against a lot of Smeargle Muck on ladder. Like there are so many people just trying that, and I was like, I'm just gonna click Hyper Voice. I can't miss because Mind's Eye has that secondary effect that everyone forgets about.
Oh, yeah, I did
Yeah,
forget
so
about
it's
that.
like
Wait, I don't know this. What's its secondary effect?
it also gives it scrap or it's scrappy and keen eye. So it can hit through evasion.
Oh.
Yeah, this mod just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, it only comes up against like Alolan Muk, but there's been so many times where I just like Haunt the Smeargle and Blood Moon Blood Moon the crap out of the Muk, and
Win.
they're like, we have no matchup. And I get the scoop. Even in the 1600s of best of three ladder, there are still people who will just play that, let the turn go by, try and like spore with their four poke or like their four move or four like support move Smeargle, and they just get taunted. Like Prankster Taunt feels so good in this format. Like I don't know, it just looking at this meta, it's like Prankster Taunt is so good, and then there's Giraffe. I think like people are gonna try and start bringing non-Prankster Taunt, like just fast taunt, into stuff. Like this is public knowledge, so I think I'm allowed to say it, because Joe Yu had a NPA match, I think, today with boost. He was running something kind of similar to what I ran, except over Torn he
I'm
had
out.
boost speed.
Do you know if he won 2-0?
He did win 2-0. I watched the set. He
Team
was
New
running.
York won every game 2-0 this week.
Yeah, let's go.
He was the last match. Everyone else won 2-0 as well. Let's fucking
Yeah.
go. Head on
Yeah, he
Team New
did really
York.
good in that set. He didn't bring it,
Let's
but he
go.
had booster speed taunt flutter. Probably for the mirror. And that actually
Interesting.
seemed like super scary. Like, so I think non-prankster taunt is going to be coming up at least a little bit. Because I'm not gonna lie, I've definitely had moments on ladder where I'm like, oh, they can't taunt my giraffe. They can't do that. And they just do, and I'm like, oh no, I've lost the game.
Dude, that happens with me and Ndidi sometimes too.
Yeah.
It's like, on Prankster Taunt. Why does this Lando have Taunt out of nowhere?
Yeah, exactly. Like I know when you play Hard Trick Room, you're just like, okay, this means they can't taunt me, but it is not like that. So I think like non-prankster taunt we'll see more of. I know a lot of people are thinking about Goldango too. Like Goldango kind of got disrespected at this tournament.
100%.
Like Blood Moon is obviously really scary for it, but if you go first and just like Hair of Steel, make it rain, and just blow up the Blood Moon, it's really scary.
I also feel like it's one of those ones where it's like, okay, if Hyper Voice doesn't really scare Goldango, and the moment I'm forcing Blood Moon to either click Blood Moon into one target or to click Earth Power, it's a little less scary. Because really, when they
Exactly,
start
like
spamming Hyper Voice and you can't stop it, that's where it becomes the biggest problem,
yeah.
at least in my opinion.
No, 100%. Like I feel like if you're forcing Blood Moon to click Earth Power, you're playing into Blood Moon well. Like this format feels almost like a restricted format, I'm not gonna lie. People have said that Blood Moon feels like Kyogre. I don't really 100% agree with that.
I can see it.
I don't 100% agree with it, but I definitely see it. Like Hyper Voice isn't killing everything like Spout is, but Blood
There's
Moon is
no
killing
reboot.
everything. Absolutely, just nuking something. And being able to use just really strong spread moves. And then didn't play against any wide guard, which is honestly it's fine, because it's like, oh, if they're playing wide guard, you just Blood Moon it. Like there's so many positions where it's like the only wide guard in the format is Pelipper, and you want to taunt the Pelipper anyways, so it doesn't get tailwind up. And then it's like, yo, you have the bonus that wide guard's gone. So like people were saying, oh, we're just gonna adapt to wide guard. Like
All that does is
Good
force the
luck.
mind game, but you just
Yeah.
play around it. Yeah.
Exactly. Which is why I think the VR team is going to fall off. Because I think
Yeah.
that when you're forced to, like, when I was talking with Brian, who ran the VR team, a lot of his opinions on it were like, I asked him, like, how often do you set Trick Room with that team? And he was like, 35% of the time. I was like, aren't all your mons like slow as shit?
Yeah.
But you're forced to like lead in, if you want Trick Room up, you're forced to lead Instant Giraffe and you turn on turn one and then your giraffe just gets blown up by like a special attack. Because a lot of the people were running that team that I think, I would say it's the Justin team because he sent me all of the data on it, but it's like the team that Stephen Maya was running, with the Ogerpon, Water, Glim, Flutter, Chi, Ursh, and Torn. That team just like messes up the VR team because it's like they bring in Chiyu, or they just like lead Chiyu plus Glim and kind of just blow up the absolutely
Whatever.
nuke the giraffe because Meteor Beam is strong.
Yeah.
Like, I know they were teching against, they had a tech against it. Like some people were EVing for it, but still, if you're like having to EV for overheat on Chiyu, it's that's a scary amount of bulk,
Yeah.
especially in a
I
format where like
kind
everything is physical. Except for Blood Moon,
makes sense.
obviously.
Yeah. So kind of as we kind of come to the end a little bit, I want to open up into any advice that you have for players that have been in your position where, they were right there on that cusp and they really want to break through to that next level, or just players that want to, get to whatever that next level is for them. Kind of curious on what your advice you have to those players.
Well, so if you're going 6-3 quite a long time, like I think something that's important is to play with something that you're comfortable with, unless it's like you're in a position where you feel like the team is not very good. And like this is how my experience was. I was playing something that was a really rigid play style, and if you're only learning like one skill and you kind of master the skill and you're still not doing super good because of, I don't know, like when I was playing Hard Trick Room, running into Rillaboom plus something else felt like an auto loss. When your auto losses are like two very popular Pokemon, running that
Yeah.
kind of squad feels really bad. So like my opinion is that you should go with your gut, go with comfort, but don't get too comfortable. Because if you get too comfortable with a squad and only running like the same thing, you kind of get hive minded and like tunnel vision on one specific aspect of your play. And when you should be kind of focusing on everything, it felt like I got too hive minded. And when I was just not preparing at all, like when I went from Pittsburgh to Peoria, I didn't change anything on the team except I cut Ursh and I added Ogerpon Hearthflame. I was like, okay, you know what? This is the exact same thing. We're just gonna go at it. And then Rillaboom was everywhere, and I was like, oh, now I'm sad. But it pretty much comes down to like being comfortable with the squad, but not like limiting yourself. Like, don't think to yourself, oh, I'm just a Hard Trick Room player. Or, oh, I'm just a Tailwind player. Play what you think is good and play what you're comfortable with. And like if you enjoy your time playing the game, like you don't just sit there and get burnt out, that's a pretty good sign.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. That's pretty much all the questions I wanted to cover. Sableye, Tommy, anything else that you guys want to throw out there?
Yeah, I've got something, but Tommy, you got anything?
I want to say thank you so much for your time and doing this on such short notice. I reached out earlier today.
No,
And like, I appreciate you so much.
dude, no, I love talking about this. I used to do, back in the Draft League era, I would do like breakdowns every week with my old friend group, and they would be like 4 hour long videos. We spent a lot of time doing this kind of stuff, and it's been a while, so this feels kind of similar to that. And I just love doing this. I love talking about the game. I love playing it, so.
That's awesome. Table, you had something that you want to ask?
So something that kind of goes away and does gets overshadowed a little bit is when you're playing this game, it comes a lot to, oh, the six Pokemon versus the six Pokemon, or you know, like, oh, I pulled this matchup here, pulled this matchup here. But I want to talk about the mental game because, as we said at the beginning, 15 rounds of Pokemon this weekend before top eight started. How do you keep your head in the game? How do you make sure you're still playing at the best level you can despite fatigue, maybe obviously a set not going your way, a game not going your way? It's kind of the mental aspect of things.
Honestly, I was drinking a lot of water. Water is super important. In all honesty, I didn't eat much, which was probably a bad thing. Like my friends were like, "Yo, you're just hungry for the win." So that's how I was feeling. And in a lot of my sets, I just played it really calm, and I was like, "I think this guy is going to do this." Like, so my game two against Toller, I just kind of went. Like, I know this is kind of a bad thing to say, but I totally went off vibes for a lot of my sets. And game two, I feel kind of bad about what happened because I popped off a little bit. So, and he was playing the Iron Crown stuff, as we've seen from like the team sheets being released. Game
He was on
two,
stream too.
yeah, game two, I he leads in DD Crown and I lead Ogerpon, tail or Ogerpon Torn, and I Tailwind and I Terra Fire, Wood Hammer the Iron Crown on the Helping Hand Terra Water, and as soon as I saw his character in game put his hand up, I just like popped off instinctually because I knew what happened, and I was just like, just having those opportunities to like play off of vibes. Honestly, made it so it didn't feel as tiring because I just felt like I was playing Showdown. I play so much Showdown, which is probably not the best thing. I like got close to burning out a little bit, but I just hit the vibes level, and I was able to just, drink a lot of water and just play off of how I was feeling, and it worked out. So proud of myself on
That's
that
awesome.
one.
For sure.
For sure, yeah. I mean, clearly worked out amazing, and I
Yeah.
want to say congrats again on just an incredible run, an electric run that was like super fun to watch, honestly. And thank you so much for coming on. As Tavi said, short notice, you are our first guest, and we couldn't have asked for a better guest.
Yes.
I think this
Thank
was
you.
like
Yeah.
super informational and just a ton of fun.
You start doing more
Before we
content now that I know you used to do it too? Can I ask that of you? Because you're a natural on here.
I
Like,
was
get
thinking
Justin on
about
the phone.
doing a little bit, but I don't know where to start, in all honesty. Like for like more like with Draft League, you have an automatic audience, kind of, because like for this, like I don't know about streaming like Limitless Tours because I like to keep a lot of my building private because I do it pretty much all by myself. Like this entire team I worked on by myself, just by like shout out to the person who made the PASRS thing. Where it shows like all of your data, I maxed out like three of them. So, because you can only have 100,
I need to
so
talk. Yeah.
yeah, I maxed out three of them playing, and I was able to realize what moves and what I was using and what I was losing to. So like just by doing that, like having that like as content would kind of be scary for going into a tournament.
For
I don't
sure.
want to self-leak necessarily, but I love making content. I love just like talking with people and expressing how I feel. So it's like, if you guys ever want me back on, I'm always around. So
Yeah, you're a natural. You're an
Absolutely.
absolute natural.
Thank you. Thank
So,
you.
okay. All right.
Anything that you want to plug or anything like that before, or any shout outs that you want to give before we kind of wrap up here?
I mean, just like I said on stream a bunch, I just wanted to shout out all the people who have been supporting me. It's been huge having this group that just like, and now even new people who have seen my run and like my play. It's just awesome to do good for the people who care about you, and I'm just really glad to have the opportunity to play the game, even at all. Like the fact that I've gotten all the registrations and been able to go to everything has just felt amazing. and I'm glad to keep it up.
That's awesome. And we'll definitely link your Twitter
Yep.
in the description and everything.
I'll
But
link.
anything else that I missed, guys?
I think
Think we're good?
that's it, I think. I think that covers
Just say
everything.
thank you
Okay.
again.
All right.
Well, thank you again so
Yes.
much for coming on. This was a blast. That is it for us this week. We will be back after Knoxville now, actually. So we'll
Yeah,
have a
two
couple
weeks.
regionals to review when we come back. And Nick will be at Knoxville, so everyone watch
Yes.
out.
Yep. Everyone watch out.
Wait, if you
We
win, can
are
you come back on?
excited to
If
see.
you
Oh,
win,
of course. Of course. Absolutely. You know what? That I mean, I don't want to
Love
put any expectations on myself, so I'm just gonna go there and have fun and
Absolutely.
bring whatever. So,
Absolutely.
yeah, just trying
Well,
to
we
have
can't
fun, play
wait
the
to
game.
see what you do and what teams you bring. Super, super excited. But as always, thank you everyone for listening. And if you liked having Nick on and having like these guest interviews, please let us know. This is our first time doing this, but we had a ton of fun doing it. We'd love to do more. So definitely let us know what you thought. But that is all for us. So thanks everyone.
See ya.
Hey guys.